Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So we've been looking at this idea of being committed, and I was able to, I got to preach at Ohio Northern College. I had a connection with Olivia. She goes there, so I got to preach at this group called Fusion. And it's a group of college students that get together, and I preach this message on being committed. So, because nothing happens without commitment. A marriage isn't going to stay healthy and commit without commitment, right? You're not going to have a career without commitment. You're not going to have a budget without commitment. Without being committed, things fall apart. So God is committed to you, and we want to be committed to Him because He holds all things together, right? So the things that when we're committed, it shows up in our life. Now, the word commit, remember, it means Golgotha. Golgotha in the Hebrew language. And so Golgotha is where the hill where Christ was crucified on the cross, on Golgotha's hill. Now think about this. That's the place of the skull. That's what Golgotha means, the place of the skull. So what that's saying, the greatest battle we face is right here in our minds, the place of the skull. So when we're committed, Jesus won that battle, didn't He? He defeated every form of darkness, every sin. Annihilated it through the blood of Jesus. Amen? So, when we're committed, that's what happens in our life. We defeat the darkness that's trying to destroy us. Now, this word committed also means to roll away. Remember? We want to start our days out. We want to go to God. Talk to God. If we're committed, if you're committed, you'll start your day with Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him what's going on. Give it to Him. Because you're committed. You see this? And the word commitment means from the camels on the journey, they would get on their knees and roll their burdens, their gear, all that, they would roll it off, and then they would be refreshed so they could continue on the journey. You see that? I like that. Amen. So when you start your day, you roll off your burdens, give them to God. You see that? And now when you go to work or wherever you go, you don't take that burden with you. You gave it to God. Because the devil will make sure, there is a devil, he will make sure there's somebody there to amplify your burdens, your struggles, your worries. He'll make somebody there to speak to them and make it bigger than what it really is. But if you rolled it off, he don't have anything to work with. And now you can give that person that tried to come and speak a mess on you, you can give them grace and mercy and love them. Because you're in a position to be free to do God's will. Are we making sense? So that's the idea. When you're committed, it positions you to be who you're supposed to be. You can't even become you without being committed. God's trying to show you the you you haven't met yet. You can't even be you without being committed. So that's the idea. So, we're going to look at this. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, remember the word cast all your cares upon him. Remember the word cares is anxiety, worry. Cast it all on him because he cares for you. Now, the word cast, one of its meanings is drop it. Drop it. To drop. So here's, I want you to look at the person next to you and just say, drop it. It's not as big as you think it is. Right? It's not as big a deal as you think it is. Drop it. When you drop it, now you're not carrying it into work and somebody there to help you out with that. You see that? Now, so he says, and he shall bring it to pass. What? Whatever it is you dropped, he's going to bring it to pass. Could be the way you see it. It could be you need a miracle in your health. You need something. But when you're committed, God's going to help you with it because he's the helper. You see that? That's the idea. But he wants you to be a helper. He wants you. That's why we exist, to help other people. You see that? Psalms 46:1 says, God is my refuge. God is my refuge. A present help in the time of trouble. You see that? When people are going through a difficult time and you're at work, you ought to be there to give them help in the time when they're in trouble. You'll have a solution. You'll have an answer because you've been committed to help them. Well, you don't know who I work with. The people I work with don't want what I have. Well, that's because of what you're showing them. If you are committed, you're going to show them grace and mercy and peace. You see that? That's what you show them. And they're going to want some of that. But here's the idea. If they don't want what you got, God is using them to develop something in you. To bring out the love in you. You see that? He's trying to bring out the love in you so you can serve them something healthy. Oh, that's good right there. See, because here's what people do. They'll blame the people they work. I've had people come in here. I hate my job. I just hate it. You ought to be glad you have a job. I don't care if it's shoveling. You know what I'm talking about. Doesn't matter. You ought to do it with grace and mercy and gratitude. And when that begins, now you're positioning yourself to be promoted out of there. You see that? That's how that works. Do all as you do as unto the Lord, not unto men. Go in there and serve the Lord, not your supervisor, not the people you work with. Serve the Lord. Every person you work with, you ought to treat them like Jesus. I'm serving you today. Huh? That's what he's talking about. That's what he said to Paul. He said, why do you persecute me? Because of how he was treating people. You see, when you mistreat people, even non-believers, that's the ones that really need it the most. You're supposed to give them grace and mercy. Are you catching this? All right. It's going to be okay. You see that? And you know, that's why you can't blame people. When we blame people, now we're into the blame game. Remember that we're not taking the responsibility. Remember, do all things without murmuring and complaining. All right. So, He shall bring it to pass. Now look at this. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Now, here's the thing. We have been talking about our responses, and this is how, that's what God is looking at, is how we're responding to circumstances, situations, people. You know, I told the people in the last service, I can't get this image of this pastor in Ukraine, over there in Ukraine, house destroyed, but his family made it out of there. He's got his family in a basement and his church in a basement. And he's up while bombs are going off. You can still see the smoke roaring from where a bomb had gone off and burned a building. He's got joy. You see that? Joy in his countenance and talking about spreading the good news. Now listen to me. He was being governed by another government. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, if anybody had a reason to get sourpussed and negative, but he had joy. It showed up in his countenance. I can't get his face off my mind. I'm telling you, that's how we're supposed to be. You hearing this? Difficult times are going to be around us. Things are going off. But when we're in touch with God and we're becoming who God put us, made us to be, joy. It's going to be right there on your mug. Your mug is telling the story. It's really revealing what's going on. God wants to use you and I in the time we're living in. You see, it talks about in Matthew 13:39, the end of the age is the harvest. What the devil has sown on earth and what God has sown on earth. There's a harvest being reaped. What have you been sowing? What's coming out of you? See that? In this time we're living in. What's being revealed? What fruit is the harvest producing? If it's resentment, negative, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, those are all from the wrong root. And God's not in them. God's not producing that. Are we making sense? This is what God is calling us to. And he says, I don't care. You know, it does, because you know what? The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. That's right. He talks about in Isaiah 33:6, he says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time and the strength of your salvation. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, when you have that, no matter what's going on around you, wisdom, joy is God's wisdom coming out of you. God's knowledge coming out of you. See, that's why you got to grow. If you're not growing, you become religious. And you start saying, thinking everybody else has got the problems. Remember what the word religious means? Superstitious. That's right, Tyler. That's good, man. Superstitious. Domanion. I might have said it wrong, but it's the Greek word. It means demon gods. When you judge and criticize people, that's a religious spirit. And it's empowered by a demon force. That's why you don't like. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was looking for churches. I went into a church and, man, they were bumping out the music and everybody in there. But I went in there with my son And they treated me like I was some kind of, like I had some kind of disease or something. You know what I'm saying? I felt it. And I was a believer. I was saved. I was just looking for a place to connect with other folks that got born again like what I experienced. I was trying to tell everybody about Jesus because I knew I was born again. I was in this church, and boy, they just, everybody looking the same, and they're all looking at me like, you know, I could feel that. I went back the second time. I said, man, I don't want that. So I found me another place. I went to several more. Finally found one. Had the same music. Folks all looking a little bit different up in there. I tell you, if everybody's looking the same, something's wrong. Right? And I'm telling you, I don't care what you brought in here. Like I said, I don't care what you smell like. I don't care where you were last night. You're in the right place. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter where you were. God's house, His place, His church, where everyone is welcome. Amen. You see this? And the idea is, you come in His presence, there's going to be some changes. In His presence, He will show you the path of life. You can't stay in the same path. You're going to get on a new path. You see that? And go His way, and now things are going to change. You see that? So the idea is, where are we at here? I gotta say something else. It's the agape love. When you hear the word agape, you ought to think marriage. That's what you ought, first thing you ought to think. It's God's love in marriage. And that's commitment. You see that? Marriage. Now, and that's when I marry people, it's the agape love that they're being introduced to and they're being called to. It's the agape love in your life. Now, think about this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. Agape. That agape love of the truth, that they might be saved. You see, you should have a marriage with the truth if you're not going to be deceived. Deception is increasing outside of the love of the truth. You see that? Outside the agape love. But when you have a love of the truth, you're married to the truth. I need me the truth. I'm going to do what it takes to get me some truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. You see? That's what He wants you to be married to. Because we're waiting on Him. We're the bride. He's the groom. You see? A marriage is going to take place. It takes agape love. Amen. And that agape love will protect us in the day we're living in. It will empower us and give us the power we need to overcome anything we face in this life. Because we're married to Him. My foot's going now. You see that? Are you catching this? And that's when we ought to be excited. It talks about in Titus chapter 2, He wants to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. That's you and me. Good works. We've been created, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created for good works. That's what we should be up to. The good works. His works, what He's called us to and created us for. Are we making sense? He wants to redeem us from anything that's not producing that. And that's what he's up to with his love. You see this? All right. It talks about in Matthew 24, it says, lawlessness will abound. Why? Because the love, the agape, is growing cold. Lawlessness is willful disobedience to the authority of God. Because it's increasing, the love is growing cold. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to believers there. We should never let our love grow cold. You see this? Because if it's abounding, it's going to affect every area of your life. Lawlessness is sin. 1 John 3:4 says, lawlessness is sin. Willful disobedience to the authority of God. We better get a grip on lawlessness. Our world is full of lawlessness. And that's why we're seeing what's going on. What's been sown by the enemy, it's showing up on the news. Huh? If you're walking around and you're reporting that, you are his messenger. I'm not going to walk around echoing what I see on the news. I'm going to echo what I hear in my prayer closet and what I'm reading in his word. You see that? And I'm going to echo that at wherever I go, and it's going to have a solution, and it's going to be able to help people. I'm echoing it right now. Is this making sense?
Amen.
Come on, is this making sense?
Amen.
So here's the idea. We're going to, when the love of God grows cold, lawlessness can abound. See this? If your love for God isn't increasing and growing, it's getting weaker and weaker. And when it gets weaker and weaker, guess what? Now you're positioning yourself for more lawlessness. I know that sounds like a religious word, but it's not. It's a Bible word.
Amen.
I told him at Ohio Northern the other night, get familiar with the word repentance. Don't look at it like some backwoods preacher trying to straighten you out. No, the word repentance ought to be something you welcome. It ought to be in your vocabulary. Sound mind, changed mind. You see that? Metanoia. When I repent, metanoia. I can change my mind and go God's way. You see, when I have paranoia, I'm full of fear and anxiety. That's because I've paired up with thoughts that aren't from God. So now I have paranoia. That's what's going on all around us. People are paranoid. There's more mental illness today than ever. Ever, it's breaking records. Donita even went to a human HR, human relations meeting, and that was the topic, mental wellness. This is huge. Come on, are you hearing me? Everywhere, you have the answer. A sound mind. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's because his love produces a sound mind. When the agape love is at work, it produces a sound mind. A saved mind. A rescued mind. A secure mind. That's what that word means. Rescued, saved, delivered, and secure. Give me some of that. You all right? Glad you came to church. Now pay attention. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slave of uncleanness and of what? Lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You see, before you become born again, righteousness wasn't an issue. Being right with God, what didn't matter? No regard, right? So now, look at this. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Now think about that. This word fruit here means, is the word benefit. The New American Standard uses the word benefit. The Amplified Bible, which brings the Hebrew and the Greek, uses the word benefit. What benefit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Zero. You see, when you produce things in the flesh, they don't benefit you. You hear me? It brings shame. When you have shame, you want to hide. Remember, they were naked and afraid and ashamed. They put up the fig leaves, right? Trying to hide themselves. That's what people do when they're ashamed. They hide themselves. We don't want to hide ourselves, right? When you're producing healthy fruit, you're not going to hide yourself. You hear me? Now, remember the word benefit? God is the benefactor. He's got the word factor's factory. God has his factory up there. The word ben, B-E-N-E, is the word good. All he does is good. He's up to good in his factory up there. Amen. You see that? Amen. He's producing good for your life if you're going to benefit from him. Am I making sense? May not look like it, may not feel like it, may not smell like it, but he's producing good. And you're the beneficiary. You see that? And then you'll become the benediction. Bene, good words. Now you have good words. Benediction is not the end of a thing. Benediction is good words. From the morning to the end, you speak good words. That's what that's talking about. Not I have the benediction and the closing. No, the benediction starts in the morning. Good words. You see, that's what happens when you produce good fruit. You have the benediction. Good words. All right, oh, I gotta keep going here. Stay with me. Now think about this. Oh, you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is what? Death. What things? The things that brought shame. It separates you from God. It says in Proverbs 11:2, by pride only comes shame. Shame. Pride, God hates pride. He opposes pride. See that? When you're full of your pride in yourself, he's opposing you. I'd rather have the whole world against me than to have God against me. Are you listening? I want God on my side. How about you? How do you get that? God gives grace to the humble. See that? James 4:6. His grace to the humble. I humble myself. I'm going to him. So you go to him when you're humble. In Proverbs 11:2, he says that it talks about shame is pride. But then he says wisdom is for the humble. That's the wisdom you need for the times you're in.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.